Hey guys, listen up. I know these days when you watch the news, it feels like it's one hit after another and it's all bad news for the economy. Well, let me give you some good news. It's not all that bad when it comes to real estate. Let me explain. You see, a year ago, man, real estate was hot, hot, hot. Everybody and their brother was trying to go out and buy another house. What did that mean? It was so competitive that a lot of folks got discouraged. So let me ask you, have you thought about buying a house in the last couple of years, but maybe just couldn't win a bid? I used to hear that all the time. Well, now is the time to buy. Yes, interest rates have creeped up a little bit, but what that's created is an opportunity for you. A year ago, it wasn't uncommon for there to be more than a dozen offers on a home, many of which were over list. That is not the case today. So if you got discouraged once before about trying to buy a new house, now's the time to take another look. Now, yes, interest rates have creeped up a little bit, but you're not going to overpay for the home. But here's what you will do. You'll stop throwing your money away on rent, and now you'll get a greater tax deduction. That's right. You see, at the end of the year, you're going to get a statement from your mortgage company that shows how much interest you paid, and you get to write all of that interest off. That means you could get a huge tax deduction. You never get that as a renter. Not only that, homes are still going up in value. Don't believe the hype. All of the economists believe long-term real estate always works out. Let me give you an example. Maybe way back when, in the housing collapse of 2008, you bought in 2007 and maybe overpaid. Buddy, if you hung in there, that house is worth a whole heck of a lot more now. If you've played in the stock market, you know what I'm talking about. You only lose money when you throw in the towel. Real estate long-term always performs well. So here's my advice to you. Date the rate, marry the house. Find the house that you and your family love long-term, because here's what's not long-term. These higher rates. I've yet to see a single economist who doesn't agree with me that rates are going to return. So doesn't it make sense to get the house you want right now? And then when rates improve, man, just get a lower monthly payment. In the meantime, you'll enjoy a greater tax deduction, and that property is going to continue to appreciate, meaning you're building equity and wealth for yourself. Not only that, how about this? We're going to save you some cash at buywithconrad.com. We're going to give you the peace of mind of a 7-year guarantee. When rates improve over the next 7 years, not if, but when, that's my prediction, we'll refinance you again with no new origination points. Think about that. That could save you thousands of dollars and give you the peace of mind of knowing that you got the right house for your family right now. And then when the rates improve, man, get a lower monthly payment. Now, you don't need perfect credit or money out of your pocket to do this, but you do need to hurry to buywithconrad.com. That's the first step. You tell us how much you want to put down and what you want your monthly payment to be. We get you approved, and then you go shopping just like a cash buyer at buywithconrad.com. NMLS number 65084, Equal Housing Lender. Seriously, if you've thought about buying a house over the last couple of years, but you got discouraged, now's the time to take another look. Let me run the numbers for you right now. You'll be glad you did at buywithconrad.com.
Woo Wings, a virtual restaurant concept from the man himself, the nature boy, Ric Flair. Enjoy the legendary flavors and world championship wings by ordering with your Uber Eats or Postmates app. Woo Wings is now open in Nashville, San Antonio, Jacksonville, Florida, as well as Huntsville and Tuscaloosa in Alabama, with many more locations coming soon. Try the only chicken wings worthy of carrying the name of the 16-time world heavyweight champion. Tell them, Nate.
Wings! Legendary flavors! World championship wings! Woo! Woo Wings! Yeah! Woo woo!
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Hey, this is Kurt Angle, and welcome to the Kurt Angle Show. On the show today, we'll be discussing when I became an honorary member of the Shield at TLC 2017 pay-per-view. But first, let me introduce to you my co-host, Paul Bromwell. How you doing today, Paul?
Kurt, if I had it any better, I couldn't stand it. You know why? Because I'm talking to you. It's my favorite time of the week. And listen,
I do.
We had so much fun doing Ask Kurt Anything last week. I saw a lot of good feedback on it. But the last couple episodes, it feels like the feedback's been tremendous, man. Are you hearing it? Are you seeing it as well?
Yeah. Especially the last couple episodes, especially Ask Kurt Anything. I think the fans really enjoy that show.
Dude, I'm telling you, and I got to let Derek know because we got to update the schedule. I want to do another one before the end of the year because
I agree.
I saw some stuff you shared. It's making, you know, the news headlines and stuff, but that's where we get the opportunity to get to dig in a little bit more with you and your life and everything. And I love those. That's when the fans and the listeners get to have their voices heard. And that's what this is all about, dude.
That's what this is all about, really.
Yeah.
You want the fans to have a voice, especially when you have a podcast.
Yeah. So, listen, if you didn't get your question or maybe you thought of something as we went through and it triggered, hey, you know what? I wonder about this or that. Then just be on the lookout on social media. I'm sure we'll do another post soliciting more questions before the end of the year. And kind of we can close up the year, I think. A little Christmas treat, if you will, or holiday celebration, whatever you like to recognize in your family. And we'll end the year with another Ask Kurt Anything. And we'll have fun with that. So let's get into what we're here to talk about, though, this week. And we're only going back 5 years, Kurt. So the memories should be fresh.
It should be fresh.
Yeah. Yep. And this is 5 years ago, 2017, TLC. Your first match back from the WWE in 11 long years. And it wasn't even supposed to happen. That's the crazy part, you know? But before we get into it, man, we're going to discuss how it had been those 11 years since the last time you were wrestling in a WWE ring. You wrestled Danny Doring in Salisbury, Maryland. To all the way, here you go. It's October 22nd, 2017 in Minneapolis. Talk about how much you had changed from those beginning days to now, 2017. I mean, we know physically the toll the injuries have taken on your body throughout this time. But, man, just talk about that a little bit for us.
Yeah, I mean, I had a lot of injuries during that time, especially in TNA. I had a lot in WWE as well before I left to go to TNA. But, at this point in 2017, I was nearing the end of my career. I knew that I wasn't going to go much longer because I felt that I was slowing down a little bit. And I didn't want the fans to remember me like that. That's why I retired so abruptly in the next couple of years after
I returned
to WWE, but I just didn't feel that I was the same Kurt Angle. So knowing that, and I'm not going to blame it on WWE, but when I first came back to WWE in 2017, I was in wrestling shape. I was all ready to go, and they threw a curveball at me and said, "Hey, we want to induct you in the Hall of Fame." I said, "Well, I'm not done wrestling yet." They said, "Okay, we'll get to that. Don't worry about that, but we're going to induct you first." And then they inducted me Hall of Fame and they said, "Hey, we want to make you general manager now." I was like, "What about wrestling?" "Oh, we'll get to that later." And I felt what they should have done, because I was in such great wrestling shape when I came back in 2017, I thought they should have had me wrestle first, be GM second, and get inducted in the Hall of Fame third. But they felt that I was a liability, which I completely understood with the painkiller problem I had back then and my broken necks. So I think that they wanted to ease me in, and what happened was I became inactive. When I became the GM, I stopped training in the ring. So for the next 6 or 7 or 8 months before the TLC match, I didn't train at all. And that really slowed me down even more.
It's almost like they wanted to do a little bit of a feeling out process, right? We're refamiliarizing ourselves with Kurt. We know what he was like when he left, and we want to see for ourselves what kind of shape
he said to me when I returned. He said you were the biggest pain in the ass.
Yeah. You've mentioned that before, and you've also you've talked a little bit about this whole thing, like where, hey, I was ready to go when I came back. Now, for those that have followed Kurt's career, you're aware of this, but the last time you had wrestled up to this point was 6 months prior when you took on Cody Rhodes at Northeast Wrestling in that cage match. You lost to him. But I was looking at some reviews online. People said it was another Matt classic. What are your memories of that match with Cody?
Oh, I love wrestling with Cody Rhodes. I actually wrestled him three separate times when I was, when I left TNA and I was doing the independent circuits for about a year. And Cody was great. I knew he was good, but I didn't know he was that good. And what I did, I decided to, you know, we had three matches. So I beat him once, he beat me once, and then we had the rubber match. And I felt because his, you know, he had a bigger career ahead of him, and I'm nearing the end of my career, I said, you know, Cody, let me just do the job for you. Let you go over and continue on with your career because I'm nearing the end of my career. And that's what your legends are supposed to do. They're supposed to make other wrestlers before they retire.
Just a true professional, you know, just like the guys before you, Kurt, which I'm serious, you know, a half joke, half smile. We have fun on the show, but it's true. And that's what you're supposed to do for the younger generation, right? The up and coming guys that need to get over, need that rub. And so, and Cody, my goodness, I'm sure when he comes back from this injury that he's dealing with now, he's going to be on top of the mountain, man. He's just got it. Like you said.
Yeah, he is. And he's in his prime right now. He's definitely ready.
So it's been 6 months, and like you said, you were in wrestling shape when you first came into WWE, but they got to tap you on the shoulder. So here we go. We're going to get into this. The build of the pay-per-view features the first time of the Shield coming back together. It's Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, and Seth Rollins, and it's their first time together since April of 2014. So this was a big deal at the time, wasn't it?
Oh, it was a huge deal. The Shield reuniting.
Yeah.
This was the biggest news in wrestling. I mean, these guys had an incredible faction. They had an awesome career, and they obviously spawned off into singles careers and had incredible careers as well. But the Shield was very special, one of the best factions in the history of the business.
And it's cool, man, because you get to be involved in this, in the reunion, because you're the GM. You know what I mean? You're announcing the match from your GM, you know, wearing that GM hat. It's October 9th, and you announced that it's going to be the Shield taking on Miz, Sheamus, and our buddy who we've had on the show, Cesaro. If you haven't checked out that episode, go back in the archives and see that. And it's going to be in a TLC match. But man, talk about some awesome workers, and we're going to break each of these wrestlers down. So let's start with the big dog, the man, Roman Reigns. Now, man, he is the top guy in the WWE. He had been their heir apparent to John Cena at this point, a top star. What did you think of Roman at this time and the evolution to this point?
I thought Roman was improving dramatically. I won't agree that at the beginning of his career, he should have been pushed as hard as he was pushed. He was still a little green, but Vince had faith in him, and Vince did the right thing because Roman Reigns turned out to be an incredible performer. I mean, Roman Reigns is one of the best workers in the business today, and he earned that spot. So even though he didn't earn it at the beginning, he definitely, you know, he had to go through that pressure of being the guy that's pointed out as the top guy, and he worked through it, and he became the top guy. He gained respect from the other wrestlers eventually, and that was the most important thing.
And it's good to see they figured his character out. You know what I mean?
Yes, without a doubt. And you know, they should have turned him heel a long time ago.
Yeah.
This is the best stuff he's doing right now today. Him being a heel, doing the whole family thing.
Acknowledge
me. It's really good stuff.
Yeah. So you have him. Then you got Seth Rollins, who, you know, in many people's opinion, seems to be this generation Shawn Michaels. When you think about it, you can plug him in anywhere. He's going to give you a great performance. He can do it all. I mean, what do you say about Seth Rollins and his ability?
You know what? It's not too much of a leap to say that he is the next Shawn Michaels. I believe he will be eventually. He's not there yet because Shawn put in a lot more years, you know, like 30 something years. But he does remind me of Shawn because everybody he wrestles, he has five-star matches with. I mean, when you have that kind of chemistry with everybody, you're an incredible performer. And I think Seth Rollins is a lot like Shawn Michaels.
And over the last few years, he's developed the Seth freaking Rollins character, right? For Shawn Michaels, it was the sexy boy.
Yeah,
that's right.
Same thing as Shawn, yes.
Yeah, so he's doing his thing. Then you got Dean Ambrose, who now's John Moxley, and he's been the constant star, if you think about it, for AEW since joining the company. He's proven he can be a top guy. Have you seen Moxley's transformation from the Dean Ambrose character to what he is now? And what do you think about him?
I think he's doing great. I think he is one of the most underrated wrestlers, definitely. I think he's solid. He does everything incredibly well. I don't see much of a transformation from Dean Ambrose to John Moxley. It seems like he's still him. Like, you know,
he always had that edge. He's always had the edge.
He has that attitude. He never took that away from himself. And That's what makes him special, because that arrogant, cocky look is what makes him who he is.
Yep. And whenever they always say, whenever you can be the most true to yourself and who you are, that's when it works. And
related to yourself. Yes.
There you go.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Just like you, when you came out and you were just annoying everybody, you know,
that's me annoying.
It's true. It's damn true. I'm kidding. So then you had The Miz. Oh God. Speaking of annoying, he's the wrestling fan turned reality star turned WrestleMania main eventer. He's been doing it for about 10 to 15 years now. Did you ever see him getting to the heights that he's gotten to?
No, I didn't. And the reason why is reality stars never make it big in wrestling. Okay, when you cross over from there, it's usually it's a curse. And he was on the same show as one of my best friends from high school, Tim Beggy, Road Rules. And him doing what he did and being able to spawn over to pro wrestling and make it big and main event WrestleMania, that is nothing short of incredible. And that just shows the kind of athlete and the kind of person he is.
And not only that, what he's done as far as he's kind of a face for WWE when it comes to being out in front of things, whether it's public relations stuff, spinning off a reality show with his wife.
Yep, premieres. And,
my goodness, he's just become a multidimensional, multifaceted guy. So you got to respect his hustle and work ethic. Then let's talk about Sheamus, just another hard worker in the WWE. Another guy who's done it all. I mean, he's been having a banger, after banger match as of late. What do you think about Sheamus? Tell us your thoughts on him.
I think he's one of the most consistent big guys in the company. I think that Sheamus puts on incredible performances, performance after performance. I give him a lot of credit. I think the guy's awesome.
Last, we'll touch on Cesaro. We know all about him. Now he's Claudio. We just had him on a few months ago. Do you think WWE missed the boat on him?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. He should have been a five-time world champion before he left WWE. Not once did they give him the world title. I'm really surprised because that kid can do it all in the ring. He is the pound for pound, the strongest wrestler I've ever seen. The stuff he does in that ring is incredible. I mean, that suplex off the second rope when he pulled the guy's on the ground, he's on the second rope.
Yeah.
He arches and pulls him up and horses him up. That's incredible, man. You do stuff like that, you're unbelievable.
He's doing swings now where not only is he swinging the guy, but he's got another wrestler on his shoulders while he's doing the swing to the, I mean, it's just,
he's Superman. Man. He's the real life Superman. Yeah,
the Swiss really Superman. That's a great tagline. So here we go. We're at the go home show for TLC on Raw. Ambrose would say the Shield could beat four or five men. So the Miz added Braun Strowman and Kane. This is just done to make the baby faces look even stronger, don't you think?
Yeah, you want to make the baby faces work from underneath. You want to make them look like they have the disadvantage. This was a perfect setup for it.
Well, buddy, your world's about to change because, my goodness, did you know what the plan was for you to come back to the ring for the first time for WWE? Because Lord knows it couldn't have been the Survivor Series.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't even close. I was supposed to wrestle Jason Jordan, my son, at WrestleMania the following year. And they were building up a program with him and I. And they wanted Jason to turn on me eventually, and we'd end up wrestling at WrestleMania. So I was not expecting to be an honorary member of the Shield in 2017.
Well, let's dig in. Meltzer has it all spelled out for us. What happened? It's October 22nd, 2017 from Minneapolis, from The Observer. Kurt's first WWE match in over 11 years. His last match under the WWE umbrella was at an ECW branded house show on August 14th, 2006 in Salisbury, Maryland, defeating Danny Doring. We touched on it at the beginning of the show. It is his first match in 6 months, which was on March 3rd, 2017, losing to Cody Rhodes in a cage match at the new WrestleFest event in Waterbury, Connecticut. In the weeks leading up to the pay-per-view, there's a slow build of the Shield getting back together. And on Raw, October 9th, 2017, Kurt in his Raw GM role makes the Shield versus Miz, Sheamus, and Cesaro as the main event for the upcoming pay-per-view. Braun Strowman and Kane end up getting added to the match on the go-home show the following week to make it a 5-on-3 handicap match after Ambrose said they could beat any four or five guys and Miz called them out on it. Then, just 2 days before the pay-per-view, everything has changed, Kurt. Here we go. One of the strangest weeks in WWE history saw a viral contagious disease outbreak that took out two key wrestlers from the TLC pay-per-view show and led to a late decision to put both Kurt Angle in the ring for the main event and have AJ Styles, who himself was ill earlier in the week, fly from Chile to Minneapolis to have an unannounced first match ever with Finn Balor. Man, this is a wild time. The issue started weeks ago when Bo Dallas took ill. By last week, there was some question whether his older brother Bray Wyatt would be able to wrestle on the show. Then, by midweek, Roman Reigns, the company's most pushed full-time star, was diagnosed with the mumps and also had to be taken off the show. On October 19th, all the Raw talent was told they needed to immediately get shots for mumps, measles, and rubella. Aside from Reigns, there's no confirmation of what either Rotunda brother or ring announcer JoJo Offerman, who, by the way, at that point was Bray Wyatt's girlfriend, were diagnosed with. WWE officials denied either had viral meningitis, which was the word going around, and WWE talent was only told what to get shots for and not the specifics. Kurt, take us back 5 years ago. What did you hear about it? Did you have to get shots? Tell us about it.
You know, when I heard about it, it was actually shocking, you know, but the WWE was kind of keeping it hush. And they didn't give me shots. And I think it's because I was an employee of the WWE at that time. I worked as a producer and also the GM, and I wasn't a talent. So I think that's the reason why they didn't have me take the shots, even though I was going to eventually wrestle. It was a little weird. It was a weird time, knowing that the mumps were going around and all that crap and Roman Reigns having to go out 2 days before the pay-per-view with their big return for the Shield. That was a shame.
Who calls you, Kurt, and says, buddy, we've decided we're putting you back in the ring?
Johnny Laurinaitis. He told me, get ready because you're going to be wrestling with the Shield. You're going to replace Roman Reigns. And you're going to wrestle in the main event at TLC. I was like, well, I'm not ready, Johnny, but I guess I'll go.
Wow, here we go. All right, listen, we have our first clip of the week, and Kurt's going to get a little emotional for this in-ring return. And we have the clip. Kurt, let's check it out, and then we'll talk about it. Here we go.
Tonight will be very special. The one thing I do think about are my kids, especially the three youngest ones. They've never seen daddy perform. I have a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old. For the first time, they're going to see their dad not be the general manager or, just sit there at home and play with them and, you know, take them to school, but they're going to see daddy in a different light. And for me, that's special. It is ironic that I won the world championship, my first world championship 17 years ago, to this day. It's special. This day will always be even more special to me. It was always an incredible day for me. That's when I beat The Rock for the world title, my first world title. That jump-started my career and took me to a level I never dreamed of being. To come back on this date and, you know, perform in the main event again, it's huge. You can't ask for anything more than that. Kurt Angle's more humble now. He learns to appreciate things more. In the past, I looked through that. I looked beyond that. I always wanted to be the star. And I did it at the cost of my health. Now it's about family, taking care of my kids and my beautiful wife. It's about staying safe and protecting myself for them. But at the same time, I'm a competitor. I'm a world-class competitor that wants to do everything he can to be the best that I can be. So there's a mix, but there's a little spot in that brain, that small brain I have, that tells me just do what you can. Don't try to exceed what you can do. To come here being prepared to wrestle, for me, it's like going to the Olympics all over again. You know, that's always how I've said it for myself is to act like you're in the finals of the Olympics, and what would your mindset be, and what would you do mentally and physically? And that's what I did today. I did the same routine I always do. I always knew I was going to come back. I didn't know when. I wanted to come back in the WWE for the past 4 years. You know, I think I had to prove a lot of things to Vince McMahon about my life. Do I have it together? Am I staying clean? Am I healthy enough? You say a quick prayer that everybody stays safe, and the light switches on. You go from being a human being to a machine. And when you step through that curtain and you hear the fans cheer, it's on. I mean, there's no turning back. It's time to go into beast mode and do what Kurt Angle does best, and that's put on a wrestling clinic. So yes, this is redemption for me. This is a moment that I can look back and say, this is what you wanted for years, and you're finally getting it. So you better step up and do what you do best, and that's perform for the WWE Universe.
Kurt, immediate thoughts and reactions. Do you like that? That was well done. Let's talk about it, because at the beginning of that, you were very emotional talking about your family and your daughter specifically getting to see you do this version of you that not just daddy and there in the house or the GM, but the one who finally gets to do a get back in the ring, what you were so passionate about. How important was that for you, for them to see you in that position again?
Well, I always wanted my kids to know who I was and what I stood for and the career that I had. And, you know, up until then, they never really saw me. They never, you know, I wasn't in WWE since 2006. So yeah. You know, all my younger kids, the three younger ones, Cody and Kira, got to see me perform a lot. Those are my two older kids. But the three younger ones never got to see me. And it was important for me to be able to perform in front of them, so they know who their dad is and what he accomplished.
That's so cool. And you also, thankfully, got the Peacock Network now, where I'm sure you can go back and show them a lot of fun stuff.
You know what? We haven't reviewed through that, but we're going too soon, because yeah. I want them to know what their daddy accomplished every single year that I wrestled.
Yeah, the skits.
I'm going to abuse them with film.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Did I show you this one? Did I show you that one? Dad, it's enough, okay? I can.
You know what they do watch? They love seeing me in movies. So okay. They play these movies over and over again, like these 12 different movies I did. Warrior and Dylan Dog, Pain and Gain.
Okay.
It's just funny because, you know, they want to see their dad as a movie star,
And, you know, when they watched me wrestle, they thought it was really cool. I actually, my daughter Sophia is like, she's my biggest fan. She's the one that does the videos with me on social media.
Oh, yes. She's awesome.
She does all those funny things, yep. And she absolutely loves it.
Oh, that's so cool. Let's talk about, we're going to continue with this emotional deal. How emotional was it for you to get back into a WWE ring in, you know, wrestling? How was that?
You know what? I wanted to get back in WWE since 2014. And when I went to go back, I actually, my contract was ending in TNA. And I reached out to WWE. And I reached out to one of their, you know, Terry Taylor. You know, and Terry checked to see if they were interested, and the first thing Vince said is bad reputation. He didn't want any part of me, so I knew that I had to build my reputation back, because I became clean in 2012, and I had to prove that I could keep clean for a certain amount of years and also remain injury free. You know, my two biggest downfalls were my injuries and my painkiller problem. And Vince McMahon remembers both of them dearly. So, you know, I had to prove to Vince that I could stay clean and stay healthy. And I did. By 2017, they reached out to me and they said, hey, it's time to bring you back, which was great. It was a redemption for me, really.
And listen, WWE helped fund your rehab. So they know, it's not like they didn't know that you went through rehab in 2012. So at that point, Vince is thinking, let's just see if there's longevity to his soberness, you know.
Well, you know what? Not only that, but I also had to be on calls every week, AA calls with WWE. And that way they were monitoring me to see if I was getting better, if I was staying clean, you know, what was going on with my life. So I had to do those as well for a while.
So if he wanted to pull notes, if he wanted to find out, he would have had access to all that as far as your rehab and how it went and all that.
Definitely.
Well, listen, were you at all disappointed that there really wasn't any kind of build up TV wise for this?
Yeah, what? What are you going to do? It happened in the last second.
I know.
We didn't have time to show on TV. We didn't have time to play that storyline out that Kurt Angle was replacing Roman Reigns. It was just the last second thing and we had to do it.
Were you at all worried about, hey, because you said it, and we've talked about it at the beginning of the show, it's 6 months since you last wrestled Cody, and you haven't done any wrestling. Were you thinking, oh, my God, is my body going to be up for this, or what are we doing here?
Yes. When I was GM for 6 months, didn't do anything, nothing in the ring, no cardio work. I also had a torn muscle in my quad, and I was nursing that. And so I went in there with an injury and also not sure of how my conditioning was going to be. And when I went in there, it wasn't too bad. I was able to protect my leg, and I actually did pretty well in the match. I didn't do anything crazy. You know, Vince McMahon told me specifically, you're not jumping off of anything and diving through a table.
You no moonsaults.
You do, yeah. So I knew I didn't have to do that stuff anymore. So it was pretty cool.
The other cool part is, and this is just for, you know, you think about, you know, putting a slinglet on or a pair of trunks, the Shield's just wearing everything. So it's not like you got to be like, oh, you know, are they gonna show
up? That was great, because I was out of shape. I was not in any wrestling shape.
Oh, that's right.
I had some goo around my stomach. And yeah, so that, you know, wearing the Shield outfit helped hide that.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the best part for someone who hasn't done anything really in 6 months. Throw all that gear all over me, please. God. What about any hesitation or thoughts maybe saying no to the TLC match? Or were you just like, no, I'm going to take advantage of this opportunity. There's no way I'd say no.
Listen, who would say no to replacing Roman Reigns in the Shield for a TLC match at a big pay-per-view? I mean, there's no way I could say no to that. It was such a pleasure to be able to work alongside of Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose.
That's cool too, man.
And not only that, but you know, opposite was Claudio and Miz and Sheamus, Kane and Strowman. So it was a great match. And it was, you know, there were so many great people in that match. I wanted to be part of it. Definitely.
Buddy, do you realize that you're probably the only legend or the only person really that got to play a role in the Shield that'll unless something changes, we'll probably never reunite again. I mean, Moxley has just signed another extension to stay with AEW, but they were such an amazing faction of now three guys that are top stars in the business and should be.
Four guys.
Well, I'm part of the Kurt Angle. You're a Shield member, whether you like it or don't like it. Yeah, but I learned to love it, Daddy, because Kurt Angle's a Shield member. But I mean, that's something else on your resume there. You know, nobody else really did that.
I was an honorary member of the Shield.
That's cool.
That's cool.
Do you remember who the agent was for this match at all?
I can't remember. I want to say Pat Patterson, but I'm not quite sure.
That's okay. No, just curious. What about the crowd? Do you think, man, or how are they going to react to me? Or did you know, hey, cause listen, you're replacing Roman. So were you kind of at all nervous about that?
Of course I was, you know, you have to remember, I haven't been seen in WWE in 11 years. Not that the older fans are going to forget, but there are a lot of younger fans that never watched me wrestle. And I'm replacing Roman Reigns. It could be a buzzkill for some of those little fans that are big Roman Reigns fans. So
right.
I just wanted to make sure that nobody was really upset and that everybody was maybe a little excited to see me wrestle, come back for the first time in WWE in 11 years and replace Roman Reigns. I just wanted the opportunity and I got it. And I'm happy I did it.
Let's get back to the Shield gear. We talked about it, hey, it was nice and comfortable to wear, but whose idea was it for you to say, hey, no, you're not wearing your slinglet. You're coming out in the all black Shield gear.
Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose.
Okay.
They're the ones that wanted me to do it. They actually gave me the gear and they said, hey, nice. Wear this. And then I had to have a runner go to the store and get me those boots.
Okay.
Cause I couldn't wear my wrestling shoes. I had to wear boots because I was dressed like the Shield.
Well, listen, they're going to give you the gear live on the pay-per-view before the match, and we have a clip, so let's take a look. Here we go, clip two this week.
We're going to have some clear-cut strategy?
No. No, that's not why we're here.
Listen, I know you guys wanted to do this on your own, 2-on-5, but I couldn't let you do that. I mean, I don't know what I have left. It's been 11 years since I've been in the WWE ring. But what I do have left, I'm going to give you 100% of. I know everybody wanted to see the Shield tonight.
Kurt, look, we know why you did what you did. We respect that. We didn't come here to talk strategy. We came here to give you this. Mm-hmm. And we're going out on our Shields tonight, baby. You're in. You're all the way in.
Oh, I'm in. You can believe that.
Yes. You can hear the fans doing the yes chant in the background. That was cool, man.
Yeah.
That was awesome. And I saw the big grin on your face watching that, reliving that memory. So fun. From the Observer, Vince McMahon made the call to do something that would be considered equally special. One of the few things, and maybe the only one left on the table, which was the return of Angle to a WWE ring after 11 years. Angle was already slated for a program, likely for WrestleMania. There was a lot of belief that they sacrificed what could have been a huge deal with a strong build to get Angle out of retirement for something just to save the show and squander the Angle return storyline. It was noted that Angle had been back for months, and usually WWE rushes into these things, like with Bill Goldberg when they put the first Brock Lesnar match at last year's Survivor Series, even though Goldberg felt he needed more time to get fully ready. So the argument was, if they were going to do a long build, why give it away now? But to the fans, the Angle return felt as big or bigger than the Shield reunion, and they can still do the Shield's first match soon. So what are your thoughts on that, Kurt? Do you think it was a sacrifice to have you do this match? Or at the end of the day, were you happy that this is how it all played out?
I mean, it was a sacrifice, but I'm not ashamed of it. I'm actually very happy I did it. I got to perform with Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins. And, it's historic. I replaced Roman Reigns for the Shield for one night only.
That's cool.
But you know what? Don't get me wrong. I wanted a Kurt Angle return. I wanted to be at WrestleMania, definitely. But this wasn't such a bad thing. This was actually really cool, and I really loved doing this.
Yeah, it's cool, because we're going to have the clip where you come out. It's actually coming up next with the big smile on your face. You talked about it last week. The fanboy smile. The fanboy smile. It's coming. Just one clip here from The Observer. It says, in the end, under trying circumstances, in all cases, things ended up arguably better for the fans. Angle returning seemed to have more interest in the last day than the Shield reunion, even though the Shield reunion has been the hottest thing on TV. And the reunion and the run of them as the top babyfaces is still going to happen soon. It's hard to say if the match was any better or not with Angle instead of Reigns. Angle being in there required them to tell a different story. So Kurt, as I mentioned, here we go. In our third clip of the week, it's your entrance as an honorary Shield member. Let's check it out with your little fanboy grin. Here we go.
Tag team champions. And tonight they are dressed as the Shield. Oh. Join them. The honorary member for tonight, the general manager of Monday Night Raw, the returning Kurt Angle.
You have to admire Angle's determination to make TLC go off without a hitch. Kurt promised the Shield reunion. He needed a home run tonight, so Kurt volunteered and stepped in himself.
And Roman Reigns out with a viral infection, so Kurt Angle has decided to return to WWE in-ring action. The problem is, not everyone's happy with it. The Miz has said that Kurt Angle's just another general manager looking for glory.
Guys, I got a prediction, all right? I feel like tonight Kurt Angle will be crushed, and this will be his last match ever.
Certainly a bold statement.
I mean, look at the guys across from him. Everyone.
So cool. You coming down through the crowd like a Shield badass, Kurt. What was it like?
I look like a dork and not a badass. But hey, that's me, man. I was just all smiles because I was so excited to be a part of that.
Yeah, and then coming out from, you know, walking down the crowd, you'd never done something like that before. That was unique.
No, first time. Yeah, it was really cool too, man.
Yeah, and you gotta love, this is the first time you're also not coming down to your music, but the fans figured out a way to still chant "You suck there."
You suck. I don't know if Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins appreciated that.
But they knew who it was directed to. Good stuff. So listen, the Observer says the TLC match was built more around a series of stories. Angle was taken out early and came back to win it for his team, which we're going to see some clips here. It's fun. Braun Strowman, and man, what a big beast that guy is. That guy is just a massive sumbitch, and he's going to take you for a ride, pal. We're going to watch it here soon. But it's good to see him back in the WWE, by the way. He was turned babyface after being turned on by Kane to set up that program. There were a lot of bumps through tables, but the real dangerous crazy falls off ladders were toned down. The risky ladder bumps were toned down as well, and the bumps onto the ladders were non-existent. It wasn't as wild as most TLC matches, but it had more of a story. It got silly since the heels ended up putting Strowman in the back of a garbage truck, and he was broken down and compacted. The crowd jokingly chanted about it being a murder, even though Strowman will be back in a few weeks for revenge on Kane. The match delivered. Some didn't like the story aspect, but it worked for most. So here we go. Strowman takes Kurt out of the match with a devastating running power slam through a table, and we have the clip. Let's watch Kurt get pulverized together.
The tide's shifting because Braun Strowman can change the gravitational pull of the earth. He's a monster. Look out!
And Strowman's through the table! The running power slam through the table, and our general manager's down and out.
It was a valiant effort, but I think Kurt Angle's got to be ruining his decision to take this match.
Braun Strowman did exactly what he said he was going to do, and that was take Kurt Angle out of the game.
Thunderous power slam through a table. Let's take one more look. Kurt Angle's effectively eliminated.
All right, so what are them three little kids of yours thinking right now when they see Daddy go through a table?
Holy shit, my dad's dead.
Seriously, though, any impacts, or did you, what was it like taking that from Braun through a table?
No, it was good. You know what's crazy? When he got me up, I didn't have my arms wrapped around his waist, around his back.
Yeah.
Braun's like, hold on to me. I'm like, what are you talking about? He said, just lock your hands, reach around my waist. And I reached around. And you know what? When I did that, I went through the table a lot more safely. If I would have had my hands not put together or
locked like that,
I probably would have gotten, it would have hurt a little bit more or a lot more.
Oh, but yeah.
Braun's the one that told me, because I'm not experienced with TLC matches and going through tables. And Braun actually, who was pretty young at this point in time, not a big career so far. I think maybe a couple years. he's the one that told me to hold on to his,
you he's know, coaching you through it.
Yeah. It was really cool.
And we know how much you love gimmick matches. So there you go. I mean, yeah, you talked about it here, but whose idea was it to have you taken out of the match for a large chunk of it? I mean,
You know what? I thought, you know, they wanted to do it because of my conditioning, but it wasn't that. They wanted the baby faces to look like they were working from underneath the whole entire match. And they wanted me to be taken out. And then they wanted me to come back and save
the day.
So it was like being a superhero. They wanted me to, you know, get injured, go in the back, say, no, I'm not staying here. I'm going to come back out and save the day. And it was a really cool spot for me.
Yeah, we've seen it before, and it works here. Listen, this is our final clip. We have it. Your miraculous return from the dead. And this is our final clip of the week. Kurt comes back, and boy, does he tear the house down. Let's check it out. There's the music.
Seen in far too long.
Kurt Angle is back
with the vengeance goal.
Angle turning his attention to Kane. There goes the Miz.
Oh.
And Kane, just like that, looks to snuff out the rally.
Oh, this could be it.
Oh my God, going for the tombstone. And Ambrose and Rollins now with steel chairs.
There's been so much destruction in the building. Our power's going out. Things are going all over the place.
Fight continues, though, Cole.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, the fight continues in the ring. Kurt Angle. So now look at this.
Oh, God! Oh,
Kane blasted through the barricade.
Talking about a little teamwork right there. It's a little homage there.
Homage
to the big dog.
Wow.
Angle still feeling the effects of Kane.
Oh, no. Look at Miz. Just what Miz wants. Looking for the skull-crushing finale for Angle. And Miz is going to love this. Miz is going to rub this in Angle's face. Kurt Angle kicked out. Miz called Angle a glory hound. He wanted to beat him tonight, and Angle kicked out. And Miz is livid.
I don't know how Kurt Angle kicked out right there, because that's the one he did not see coming. Miz hit it perfect. Kurt Angle kicked out.
The USA chance directed to the Olympic gold medalist. Kurt Angle, taken out of this match earlier on, is back in it. And now Miz looking for the Colt. Skull crushing finale on a steel chair.
Oh.
Angle looking for the ankle lock. Looking for the ankle lock. The ankle lock of Miz. The ankle lock center of the ring.
He's gonna.
Miz looking to tap the
No.
To get out of it. And Angle sent through the ropes and out of the ring. And Angle hit hard.
You're absolutely right, but Miz no quitter, man. He's no quitter.
No, he's certainly not a quitter, but there's been some damage done to the Miz's ankle. That's for sure.
I tell you, once upon a time, Miz probably would have tapped, but not here in 2017. This is a moment for the Miz.
Yeah, but look at Ambrose. Rollins. Angle in shield position. Miz does not like what he sees.
It's a three-headed monster all staring at the Intercontinental Champion.
Where's Miz? He has nowhere to go. Miz has nowhere to go. Here comes Rollins. Ambrose.
Boom.
There's the knee. There's Dirty Deeds. And there's Kurt Angle with an angle slam. Is down. This could be their moment. Are we going to see it? Angle's calling for it.
Wow. I cannot believe this, guys.
I can't believe we're going to see this. Paying homage to Roman Reigns, the big dog, and the triple powerbomb.
an Olympic shield bomb.
Angle with the cover. What a win.
Here are your winners, the team of the Raw Tag Team Champions, Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose, and Kurt Angle.
Olympic shield bomb. I love that, Corey.
I do what I can. What an unreal moment. Booker T, will you please finally admit how wrong you were?
Let me give these guys some props. I knew they could do it.
What do you book? Wait a minute. What an incredible performance. Angle, Rollins, and Ambrose bucked all the odds. And they...
There it is, Kurt, the Olympic shield bomb, man. How cool was watching that back?
That was cool. Did you see me take that bump outside the ring?
I did.
That's my torn quad. I couldn't balance on it, and I ended up hitting my head on the ring apron and then landed on the floor. It was really messed up bump.
So Meltzer, I'm not going to read the entire review. We just watched it all, obviously. But as he said, Kurt Angle, Seth Rollins, and Dean Ambrose beat The Miz, Cesaro, Sheamus, Braun Strowman, and Kane in 35 minutes and 29 seconds. That's a hell of a length of a main event match there.
It's a long match, yes.
Yeah. He said, before the match in an interview, Miz promised they were going to treat the other team like garbage and take them to the dump. Well, Miz, not tonight, pal. But I got to ask, Kurt, you go back to Gorilla. I mean, what happens when you're back? You just chilling, having a Diet Coke? What's going on back there until they play your music again?
Hey, you have to go back and bide your time. I mean, you're waiting to go back out there, and you get even more nervous because you just left and got backstage, and now you have to get yourself pumped up to go back out there. And it's crazy, man. It's just a crazy situation.
Adrenaline's going. Are you people back there talking to you? Michael P.S. Hayes, Bruce.
Nope. Do
you
remember leaving me alone, knowing that I need to be alone because I have to focus on the match.
There you go. The Observer said Sheamus and Cesaro were supposed to give Ambrose a double crucifix bomb through a table. However, Ambrose bounced off the table when it didn't break. They quickly recovered from that as the table was put in the corner and Strowman threw Ambrose into it hard and he went through it. Miz then called for the garbage truck to come out. The heels threw Ambrose and Rollins into the back of the garbage truck. Ambrose and Rollins fought back and dove off the trucks onto the floor, off the truck onto the floor on Kane, Cesaro, Strowman, and Sheamus. With all four taken out, Ambrose and Rollins went after Miz. Kane saved the day, tried to save Miz, and then attacked Strowman and chokeslammed Strowman through a gimmick part of the stage. Is your chicken snack order ready? Is that what that was?
That was an order.
Okay, there you go. We didn't talk about Braun Strowman and Kane earlier since they were added late, but what did you think of Braun and Kane's work? And how cool was it to be back in the ring with Kane again, man?
Oh, Kane's one of the best big guys I've ever worked with. I love being back in the ring with him. We've always had great chemistry. But Braun really stepped up. I mean, this guy, for as little experience as he had at this particular time, he was really good. He Braun's a strong son of a gun, too, man. He can do just about anything. I mean, he could lift Andre the Giant if he wanted to. He's out powerful.
And again, this is like when you're all kind of, you're in the back, right? So are you watching the match on a monitor when you're back there?
Well, I'm waiting for it to go back out. Yes. I'm watching on the monitor. I'm right next to Vince McMahon. He's there producing the match.
Yeah.
I was standing
yelling into the earphone of Michael Cole.
The referees, what the fuck is going on?
There was a setup. The Observer said there was a setup with a line of chairs hung from the ceiling, and Kane pulled down all the chairs, which fell on Strowman. One of the chairs cut up Strowman's elbow. Kane then chokeslammed Ambrose and Rollins to the table. Ambrose landed badly on that one. Sheamus and Cesaro recovered at this point. Strowman got up from the part of the stage he went through and was now a babyface, and he threw Miz into the wall. He then decked Cesaro. Strowman went after Kane. He started beating up Sheamus and Cesaro until Kane decked him, and they all started beating on Strowman. As you're watching this, you talked about it. You're in Gorilla. What did you think of all this? Is this one of those crazier matches that you've ever watched in your career?
Yeah, you know, it's weird that they're beating up each other, but I think the reason was, you know, we had to even the matchup. It was a big disadvantage, and we had to show, you know, a realistic approach to it that if these guys don't get along, they could actually get beat. And I think that's the reason why they did that. They wanted to take Braun Strowman out because they just had too much muscle for us to win.
And you said it. You weren't nervous, or were you, to come back out? You said you were focused.
No, I was focused, man. Yeah. I was ready to go. I wanted to go back out there and end the match.
And Vince is doing his thing, so he's not pumping you up or talking to you at all. He's just doing
Vince
his thing.
Vince is busy focusing on the match, yes.
So then we have you coming back out. Crowd goes crazy. You're going crazy. You're giving Sheamus an Olympic slam on the floor. We obviously saw you give Cesaro one through the table. He owes you something for that, okay? We forgot to remind him about that when he came on the show. You knock Miz out of the ring, but then Kane takes over on you. He went to tombstone you when Rollins hits him with a chair, and we see the entire ending of that match. And Meltzer would give it. You ready for this star rating? Do you want to guess what he gave it?
4.5
4.25 stars, dude. Not a half. 4.25.
You know what? It was a really good match, but I think Meltzer was being really nice.
I mean, that's a pretty high rating for it.
That is a high rating. Yeah, definitely.
That's a hell of an idea.
TLC match, yes.
Yeah. So who whose idea was it for you to get the pin? You to be the man to pin the shoulders and get that.
They wanted me to do Roman Reigns, and I was Roman Reigns, so they wanted me to get the win. It was really cool, and you know what? Me replacing Roman, obviously they wanted to put the spotlight on me. So that's cool. You know, this whole match was about the Shield, but once I came back, it became even bigger that Kurt Angle's making a return. I'm not saying I'm bigger than the Shield, but the story was that, you know, Kurt Angle's making his first return in 11 years in WWE. So that was really cool.
So when you get to the back after this match, is it immediately where you put the oxygen mask on your face, or how are you feeling after this? Are you blown up completely?
I wasn't too bad. My leg was hurting, but I wasn't blown up. No.
Are you celebrating with a gallon of milk? I mean, do you remember kind of, was your family there? Was Giovanna and the family there?
No, they didn't come at this particular time.
Okay.
You know what? I didn't want my kids there because my wife wouldn't have been able to watch the match.
And they're young.
Yeah. There was a 2-year-old, a 1-year-old, you know, it was really hard.
So do you consider it a success though? You're a big time success for you making that comeback in that setting, in that match.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That was huge. I couldn't be any happier. Don't get me wrong. I would have loved the Kurt Angle return, but this was really cool. I got to replace Roman Reigns in the Shield. That was awesome.
What did Vince say?
Vince loved it. He absolutely loved it. You know, he was excited about it. He gave us all a hug. He said, "Great job. You guys nailed it tonight. Thank you."
That's well, job well done, buddy. That's all you need to hear from the boss. And hopefully they gave you a little bit of extra scratch for wrestling.
They did. I got paid handsomely for that match.
That's what I'm talking about. You deserve it. And that's a lot of fun. So no wonder you were smiling like a fanboy up there. Now the real reason comes out. We have some questions from some of our listeners, Kurt. So let's jump into it. We got a question. A question from Facts from Wrestling, Sports Games, and et cetera. And he said, how in the hell has WWE put Braun Strowman in a garbage truck? So that was like, there you go. And my question is this. Did Braun do rehearsals of this? Because this is a dangerous spot, isn't it?
Yeah, they didn't have to have him get in the truck or anything in the back. What they did is they had like a steel beam. So when the compactor went down to crush the garbage, there was a steel beam in there and it stopped. So they were going to put Braun behind that steel barrier so it didn't compact on Braun.
Okay.
So there was space in there to lay, and you were going to be able to be careful. So and they had like a capsule in there, so it wasn't like you were in a bunch of garbage. They had like a certain a bowl that he would lay in, and it wouldn't touch you.
It was a certain garbage bowl.
Really cool setup. Yeah, it was, you know, the thing is, they had a steel beam so it wouldn't come down and compact them.
Gotcha.
They had a spot in there where he could lay.
Just, you know, not surprising. It's got to be fully gimmicked. If they're going to put it in a WWE spot, then they're going to make sure that it's all put together well. Francis, Francis Reyes is up next. He said, did you give any life advice or wrestling advice to both Dean and Seth before the event?
Actually, no, I didn't. But, you know, these guys didn't need any wrestling advice. They're pretty established, even at this point in time in 2017. So I don't think I could have given them advice. They're pretty damn good on their own.
Were they, do you remember anything with them? Like, were they just pretty stoked to be able to work with you or meeting you for the first time?
Yeah. Surprisingly, you know, I thought they were going to be upset that Roman wasn't there, but they were pretty cool. They were excited about it.
It's curious because I'm sure they had to be of an age where they got to watch you wrestle in WWE. And
well, they both told me they were big fans of mine.
As they should be, Kurt. There you go. Right answer. Instagram, a wrestling historian, is up, and he says, "Had you been offered to compete in a singles match here instead, who would have been your opponent of choice? Thanks in advance."
The list is long.
There's so many good talent there.
There are some older wrestlers I would have loved to wrestle again, but some of the younger guys, Roman, Seth, I would have, Sheamus would have been great. Claudio, Cesaro. Yeah. So there are a lot of guys, even Miz. I never wrestled Miz, and I would love to work with him.
We would have loved to seen you beat him up. So yeah, definitely. Aaron's up next. He said, when you found out Roman couldn't make it and Vince wanted you to replace him first, what was your response in this being the way to bring you back in WWE? And what was Seth and Dean's reaction to it? We've kind of talked about that a little bit through this episode. So your immediate response when you get that call from Johnny Laurinaitis.
I was like, oh shit. Like, I gotta be ready in 2 days. Yeah. I have not done anything in 6 months. So it was tough, but once I got off the phone, I was really hesitant on the phone, but once I got off the phone and thought about it, I said, this is a really cool moment. You're going to enjoy this. So just embellish it and go through with it, because this is a great moment. This is something that you're going to be able to tell your kids about someday. Because I think the Shield is one of the best factions in the history of the business. And to be a part of them for one night was awesome.
And Seth and Dean were all in, as you said.
They were cool. I'm sure they were hesitant too at first. You know, what are we going to do without Roman? Oh, Angle? Ooh, how are we going to, how are we going to get him involved? Yeah.
Isn't he a little older, a little slower? What are we going to do with Pop-Up Kurt? Nah, okay. Nah, that's fun though. But they seemed all in, so that's cool. I got to ask, so that very first video clip we watched with you and your interview, was that all done day of the event? Looked like,
yes, it was the day of the event. They did everything that day. And I thought they did a great job of it. It was a good piece.
Very good. Yeah, very well done. Brian Haremza, our buddy, says, obviously being thrown into a tag match was not Kurt's ideal return to the ring. If Kurt could have had his choice, how did he see his return happening? Was it as a surprise Rumble entrant, a match at WrestleMania, or did Kurt have another idea for his return?
Well, if it was a surprise Royal entrant, as long as I win the Royal Rumble, that would have been my big return.
That'd have been cool.
If I was just going to enter the Rumble, no, and not win, no. But WrestleMania, what they were going to do with me? I thought we were going to build Jason Jordan up pretty good up until then, make him to a main eventer. By the time WrestleMania came, he was going to turn on me, and then him and I would have had a match, and I think it would have been a great match.
Two Count Kyle, final question this week. He says, he has a couple questions here. He said, how did you find working with the Shield? You enjoyed it, right?
Oh, I loved it. It was great. It was a great experience. And, knowing that Roman went down, it was a shame because, you know, this was their big reunion. But being a part of it, it made me feel really good. I really enjoyed it.
He says, they all seem really like different characters. Was always curious about that dynamic backstage. Did you gel with any particular member? And lastly, do you keep in contact with any of the three now?
Oh, man, wrestling is a weird sport. When you're on the road with them, traveling 300 days a year, they're your family. When you get done and you retire, you don't keep in touch. It's sad. It's really sad the way wrestling is. But very few people that I keep in touch with these days. One's Randy Orton, one's Big Show, and that's about it. Every once in a while, I'll talk to Jason or my old team Angle guys, Shelton Benjamin and Charlie Haas. But other than that, you don't really keep in touch. The only other person I actually keep in touch with is Triple H. We contact each other. We text each other every month. And so I don't keep in touch with much people, but it's just the way the business is. They're your family when you're in the sport and during your career. But once you're retired, you don't hear from them anymore. It's sad.
Yeah. Tell Paul said hi. There you go. I'm just kidding. listen, man, this has been a fun review only 5 years ago. Can you believe that it's just five short years ago?
It went by fast, except for the pandemic.
Yeah. But I mean, it's crazy too, to see how their careers have all changed and morphed.
They've evolved and everything. These guys are doing incredibly well. They were doing great back then, but they're all a lot more successful.
Top stars in the business. You got to say all three of them. Yeah,
definitely.
And you got to be part of that unbelievable group. Listen, next week, we're going to talk to another world champion. Impact's Josh Alexander joins us live here on the Kurt Angle Show. Josh has followed in your footsteps, buddy, in a lot of ways. And yes, we're going to discuss that with him. Yeah. So I can't wait. And listen, before we get out of here, I want to mention a few things. First of all, hopefully, if you guys are watching us on YouTube, you'll notice I'm wearing a Dr. Tom Pritchard t-shirt. And I just want to bring him up, Kirk, because he was impactful on you early on in your career.
Yes, he was.
Great guy. Support him. He's got a great wrestling school down in Tennessee that he works hard with and has a great class down there. JPWA. Google it. Check him out. If you're interested in getting into the wrestling business, Kurt Angle will tell you there's no better trainer than Dr. Tom Pritchard.
Tom trained me, yes.
Yep, so check his school out, and you can get these shirts on ProWrestlingTees.com. Also, check out AdFreeShows.com. That's where you're going to get bonus Kurt Angle. Kurt just sat down and did a show watching one of Josh Alexander's matches as a warm-up for this show that we're going to do, and he really broke down the match, so that's where you can check some of that stuff out. Conrad's done a real nice job over there with some bonus content from Title Chase, where he sits down with world-renowned belt guy Dave Milliken. You have Eric Bischoff over there, who did a special with Raven. We got a new series over there called The Book, where they just went through some of world-class championship wrestling's booking. All kinds of fun stuff over there. Remember, early ad-free, $9 a month. And then you can follow us. That's right. You can follow Kurt and I on social media. Rumor has it I could be coming back to Twitter. Yikes. We'll see. But Kurt's on Twitter now. It's at Real Kurt Angle. You can find him there. And then you can find us both on Instagram and the show. The show's at The Angle Pod. And you can find him and his daughter, his adorable daughter, at The Real Kurt Angle. I'm at Paulie Bewell. And again, at The Angle Pod is the show handle. YouTube. Kurt, I was checking out our YouTube page, and buddy, there's a lot of great clips over there, a lot of historical stuff that you've done, whether it's our conversation with Chris Jericho, Adam Cole, countless other folks, lots of great clips over there. You discussing that final conversation you had with Vince before you walked out the door and walked into TNA. Lots of memorable stuff over at the YouTube page. You can check it out, youtube.com/TheAnglePod. But Kurt, one of those things that I know you like to make sure you talk about before we get out of here each week, physicallyfit.com.
And read my mind.
Yep.
Physicallyfit.com. That's where you can pick up chicken snacks and Snack Smart Crispy Protein Bites. There are 11 different flavors. Some of the flavors are honey mustard, kung po,
buffalo chicken, buffalo
blue cheese. Yeah.
Pizza.
Cinnamon swirl cheese pizza flavor. They're really good. You're going to absolutely love them. High protein, low carbohydrate. You can, for your first order, if you type in the code AnglePod, you'll get 20% off your first order. Or you can become a lifetime member on the website. You sign up there and you get 20% off the rest of your life.
Final plug of the week, KurtAngleBrand.com. You go to that website and, man, you will just see the beautiful face of Kurt Angle. And not only that, you click through it and you're going to see lots of cool Kurt Angle stuff, whether it's milk cartons, cowboy hats, cameo videos, T-shirts. You can support Kurt directly from KurtAngleBrand.com. I know he appreciates it. His family appreciate it. And, man, you just have a lot of great stuff over there, Kurt.
Yeah. We also have birthday cards. If you have any birthday for someone special, I'll send them a birthday card. Just go on to KurtAngleBrand.com and order whatever you want on the website, and I'll send it to you.
God, the cameo videos, I'm telling you, that's the real hidden gem on that site. So check it out, and you'll get more Kurt in your life, which we all could use more Kurt Angle in our lives. I mean, I think I've had quite a bit enough of it this week.
Too much. I'm kidding.
I love it. I love all my Kurt Angle time. Kurt, this has been a blast. I'm looking forward to Josh Alexander next week, man. Have a great week, Kurt. Thank you, buddy.
You too. Love you, bro.
On behalf of Kurt Angle, this is Paul Bromwell. We'll see you next week right here on The Kurt Angle Show.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next question, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.